Hello everyone and welcome to Tag Talk's Next Up in Fashion, the podcast for fashion designers, emerging fashion brands and fashion industry news. I'm Nick Sutton-Smith and as always I'm joined by Janae Green and Asia Devaz-Sterling. How is everyone?
Doing good.
Yeah, feeling excited, 2021.
Looking ahead now, in both senses of the word, to this episode and to 2021 and sort of what the year will bring to the fashion industry. I suppose it sort of makes sense on this topic to sort of outline where we think the industry is at the start of the year and how it has been affected by 2020 and where you guys maybe think the areas of growth are or the areas of change within fashion.
Yeah, so I think that the industry, it's obviously not in the best place, especially in the UK. We're on a lockdown that I don't know when it's going to end. Things are not really getting any better. And yeah, I feel sorry for kind of all the retail workers and the people who rely on the fashion industry to kind of keep their lives going. But I think we have been in this long enough now that we've kind of learned from our mistakes. And this year, we're actually going to reevaluate what's important and actually kind of evolve our business models, especially bricks and mortar, into something that's more innovative and more
experiential, maybe.
Yeah, more experiential and just kind of giving more immediately to consumers and kind of the context of their lives.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, I don't think that at the moment we're as, you know, in as strict of a lockdown as you guys are over in the US, but, you know, it could be coming soon. And I know retail definitely has taken a hit. There are still retail stores open, but I know it, you know, hours have definitely been cut. Employees have been let go just to kind of break even in terms of rent and things like that. Everyone's getting a lot more digitally savvy, tech savvy, figuring out how to make their online presence a little bit bigger and how to really meet their customers where they are, which is their homes. So I think that like the digital experience, the online shopping experience is going to continue to take off, but also like the virtual experiential part of fashion. So, you know, fashion events was such a big thing, you know, Fashion Week coming up and just in-store shopping events and consumer focused events. And I think that brands are trying to figure out how to still cater to their customers, how to make them feel special versus just having them go online and buy something. Like, how do we treat them to these experiences that we used to have in store while they're at home? So I think that that's going to be really interesting for like the marketers and the events and PR people to figure out how to create these virtual experiences for their customers.
And I think we're actually going to see that pretty soon. London Fashion Week have actually announced that everything's going to be online for February. So I think that's going to be something that we see pretty soon, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of, if you say, go back to like summer last year, you'd have thought that 2021 was going to be the year where, as of January and certainly as of February, everything started to open back up. In-person events are happening again. Fashion Week will be in person. Obviously, that's not the case anymore. And people are still having to take a sort of 2020 approach to how they're starting the year. Are there any brands or designers that you guys can think off the top of your head that have done well and get, like going into Fashion Week, you know of any plans that they have that is interesting or exciting?
Well, I know just at like the beginning of quarantine, so like back, I think it was in like maybe April or May, a designer, her name is Anifa, and her brand is Hanifa. Let me actually just like Google that to make sure I'm saying it right. Yeah, so her brand is Hanifa and her name is Hanifa, and she put on this like 3D fashion show. And this was, you know, not connected to any fashion week. This was kind of early on in the pandemic where everyone was still like trying to figure out how long this thing was going to last and like what changes to make. And I thought it was really bold of her to just go ahead and take a leap of faith into this virtual fashion showing. And she's not a huge brand that like is universally known. You know, I think that she's pretty niche, and the people that follow her know of her, and I think she's gotten a lot more publicity now, but I think that she was kind of one of the first to do it in the pandemic and to figure out how to show a collection virtually. And she did it really, really well as well. So I think that brands are kind of taking a page out of her book and using the 3D model approach. And then also I know there were a couple of brands that decided to use social media to show their collections.
And I actually heard about her from her COVID kind of lockdown digital collection. Someone shared it with me on Facebook and was like, look at this girl, look how amazing this is. And I was just kind of blown away. And I think that the most exciting and innovative things that we've seen and are going to see and are probably going to come from students and small brands who have had to innovate and show their final collections at uni in really kind of innovative, new, exciting ways.
No, I think that's such a good point, Asia. And actually, you know, to kind of talk about that more, I think that this generation of, like, you know, people from college that are getting ready to finish, that are, you know, in their junior, senior years, are actually going to really be able to shape the future of the fashion industry, because they're kind of walking into this world that, like, we're like, we need to pivot, this is so different. But they're like, okay, this is kind of what we know. We've never really been out in the world on our own, you know, designing and presenting collections. So this is what we know. So I think that they're going to find really unique ways to show up in the fashion space and kind of take over, kind of set an example for everyone else to follow. And, you know, this generation is pretty innovative as is and pretty, you know, digital savvy and social media savvy. So I think that really it's going to be bigger brands following these up-and-comers, these new young students, really.
Yeah, and kind of following on from your point, it's because they're these Gen Zs who are like digitally native that they kind of build their brands community first and technology first. So they really have the upper hand here compared to like big mass market brands who are kind of a bit slower to kind of adopt these new like niches and trends.
Yeah.
Do you think that's become more crucial and will continue to become more crucial, that idea of community and making sure that that's at the heart of fashion businesses?
I think that now that everything is more virtual than digital, it's kind of the only way to get your customer now is to kind of build that community and appeal to them on a deeper, more authentic level. I think that just having like a presence on the high street is just not going to be enough. And I think it's great that young designers understand that.
Yeah, I agree.
And so as we look to, I suppose, well, the biggest thing on the horizon is, as we've mentioned, Fashion Week in February. Are there any trends that you expect to see coming out of February and out of Fashion Weeks that will carry on and maybe define the year?
I'm kind of torn between seeing stuff that's really kind of frivolous and about being fun. I think that's maybe what we would have seen if COVID had died down by now. I think brands would have taken that as a chance to kind of go out, draw outside of the lines and kind of be outside of the box. But now I'm a bit unsure. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how they're kind of going to manage where we're at.
Yeah, I agree. I actually have really no expectations for Fashion Week. I don't know what I think that there are going to be some brands that don't show at all that are still kind of like figuring things out. I think that there are going to be some brands that have kind of figured out how they want to present this collection, maybe not going forward, but they're like, you know, we're still in lockdown. COVID is very much so still a thing. So I think that they're going to show in a way that makes sense and that is safe and responsible. But I don't have any predictions. I don't have any expectations. I'm really curious to see how these brands are going to innovate and what they decide to bring to the table. And I think that we're definitely going to see some new digital and virtual trends. I think that the collections themselves will be different than what Fashion Week usually is. and I don't want to say that they're going to be toned down for like this new normal, because I don't think that they will, but I think they're going to be different. I don't think they're going to be quite the extravagant, like, you know, and I don't even know the right word to call it, but usually Fashion Week is very much so you look at it and you're like, I can't wear this on the street, I can't wear this to work, but it's something for something really, really special. And I don't know that that's how designers are thinking right now, but I could be wrong. I have no idea.
I was just gonna say, I think it's really great that things are actually getting a bit decentralized from like London, New York, Milan, Paris. I think it's really good that these brands are kind of doing their own thing and operating with their own strategies. I just saw today that the New York brand Area are actually going to do a couture collection, which I think is crazy in this kind of economic climate, but I'm like so excited to see that because I think it's so great that they're going to take that risk and do it.
Yeah. And another reason I was saying I don't know if brands are really going to show during Fashion Week is because I think that now they're like, you know, I can show whenever I want. I think that we've kind of see that they don't need to attach to a week that we call Fashion Week or Fashion Month. So I think that, you know, brands are going to pop up randomly throughout the year and show their collections.
Do you think that then this could be the start of the end of the fashion calendar as we know it then?
I don't think so. That makes me really sad to think about. But I think that the calendar is definitely going to change. You know, I think as of right now, you know, there's Fashion Week and then there's Men's Fashion Week and they're all just kind of separate. They're all just, it's very structured. I think they're going to have to rethink the calendar, but I don't think that Fashion Week will ever go away, but they're definitely going to have to figure out how to get people excited about it again. I think it definitely lost its luster back in September and October.
Yeah, I actually think that it kind of lost its shine quite a bit before then. I never really watched Fashion Week. It didn't really excite me that much to see models walking down the runway to music that I didn't really like. And I think a lot of people felt the same as me. And I think it was very rigid, the way that brands had to act. And if they didn't operate in this way that was kind of dictated by Fashion Week, then they weren't really in the inner sphere. So now I'm really happy to see those smaller brands kind of saying, no, we're going to do it our own way and succeeding at doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. And I think that, and it kind of already has started, but I think Fashion Week is going to be a bit more consumer facing versus so industry focused. It's going to be more so for the consumers, for the buyers, for the people. So I think it's going to be a bit more accessible than it was.
Yeah, brands and industry insiders just really can't say anymore, okay, we're going to decide for you and we'll let you know in a few months when it's in store. Consumers have to be a part of this conversation now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I think that I think everyone is kind of looking to a different source of inspiration. You know, the buyers, the editors, we don't rely on them as much as we did in the past. I think that we're finding inspiration, we're finding trends, we're finding style in the most unexpected places. And from real people, from people that we see on social media, people that we follow. So I think their position is going to be a bit different as well.
So if the consumers are going to be driving the fashion weeks and what sort of what the designers are producing more than they have been in the past, could you say that there's an argument that the designers will become less less experimental and maybe push the box a bit less? Because I know earlier, Janae, you were saying that historically Fashion Week has been stuff that no one would wear to work or to go out. It was more to showcase technologies in fashion or what a designer could do. Do you think that maybe it takes away a bit if it's consumer led?
I don't think that it will. I think that they're still going to have to find a way to be really out there and to get our attention. I think that now the world is just very jaded. We've seen, we feel like we've seen it all, and like we're not very easily impressed. So I think that they're going to have to find a new way to get our attention. And it's not going to be from the big frou-frou gowns, from the like the meat suits. It's not going to be from things like that. It's going to be from things that we can wear, but that still kind of shock us and still kind of like set their collections apart. And I think that it's going to be also the ways that they show it, and like it, when things can kind of return to normal, you know, presenting things in a way that is different and that we've never seen before. And I think that some designers are going to still try for that this season, and maybe streaming their shows so that people can kind of see what they've been up to and see how they're producing it, but without an audience. So that's the weird part. It's like showing a collection, streaming it, but there's no live audience. So it's different for everyone. It's like, who are the models showing it to? Who, when the designer walks out at the end, there's no clapping. It's just, it's weird.
I agree. I think that designers are always going to have kind of that creative agency. I think that consumers want that from them. They want to be like surprised and kind of shocked by stuff. But I think that there's a balance now that kind of has to happen between what is pushing the envelope and what is giving consumers what they want. I think that the brands that have been really successful have been ones who kind of hunkered down with their aesthetics and really stayed true to who they are, and their audiences have really respected that. You have brands like Molly Goddard, and they just like know what they're doing. They're doing like these amazing, exquisitely made tulle dresses, and they're not for everyone, but she has her audience and she's doing really well. So I think that that's really what sets these designers apart.
And on like a whole nother page, I think that the brands that have been socially conscious and that are, you know, in the conversations that the world has been having on diversity and inclusivity, I think that those brands are going to get a lot more attention. People are going to want to shop and support brands that care about what they care about. So the ones that have been speaking out on Black Lives Matter and on, you know, police brutality and on situations that they do or don't agree with, I think that people are going to gravitate more to those brands versus a brand that shows a really cool collection.
100%. I've definitely made a list of brands that have sent really good messages out about Black Lives Matter and just been really empathetic about the impact of COVID. I'm definitely shopping from them more in 2021.
Yeah, I think that seems to have been a general trend amongst a lot of the, certainly the younger generation, that they are, even before COVID, they are moving towards more eco-conscious brands, brands that are more involved in social justice issues, brands that are more sustainable. That's surely going to continue, right? And you're going to see more brands pop up that their ethos is based in an issue like that.
Yeah. And I think that these brands now agree that their silence isn't going to work for them. People are going to actually start to distance themselves from brands that don't speak out against anything, that don't have a message. And it's already really started. A lot of brands have gotten called to the spotlight during this time for not putting a message out or for not doing things the safe way or what have you. So I think that they're going to see that that is essential for their brand to even stay alive.
Yeah, for me, I don't even see social consciousness or sustainability as a USP anymore. I know that some brands are kind of like, yeah, we got the sustainable collection, come shop with us. I feel like it should be expected. It's kind of like the basic thing that these brands should be doing. So in the future, it's just going to be like, we're sustainable, we're not going to shout about it, here's what we're going to create on top of that.
Right. Yeah.
So if that's no longer like a USP for a brand, what are you, and you have like a choice of brands that are sustainable, have spoken at length about Black Lives Matter and that sort of thing, how would you go about choosing which brand to shop with? Or would it just be whatever you were in the mood for? Is there a unique selling point now that brands can look towards?
I think there's always going to be a unique selling point, especially something as creative as fashion. I just think it's up to brands to kind of go out there and find it, but not be lazy and be like, yeah, this is organic. And yeah, we support Black Lives Matter. I just think they're just going to have to be a bit more innovative with the way they come up with their business models now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that also, you know, diversifying their employees behind the scenes as well. So like they can speak out against these things, they can have a say, but like, are they really backing it up? Are they hiring people of color? Are they hiring women? Who's at the very top of the company? You know, so I think that also knowing what's happening in the corporate offices is going to be important for people as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. I now always when I'm on LinkedIn and I kind of see a new business, I look at the people in there and see kind of what the diversity is like.
Yeah, because I mean, you'll see that it's often the same type of people that are still employed, that are still at the very top of these companies. You know, they may be hiring people, but they're assistants, they're coordinators. You know, they're not the ones that have a say. And it just doesn't show that their message is actually genuine, you know. And we're not saying that you have to fire these people and then hire people of color or hire women, but I think that you should back up what you're preaching. So you should make an effort to make sure that your team reflects the current world, that your team is diverse, that you have different types of people working for your company, and so that your message is just that much more genuine.
Yeah, and I don't get why businesses don't do that. I think it's smart business. It's not just about being a good brand who does good in the world and employs diverse people. It's just good business to do that. So it kind of shocks me when brands go out of their way to not do it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And then these brands that they put out these campaigns or whatnot, and they have done or said something wrong, and they don't understand why. But it's like, had you had a diverse room working on this project, someone would have caught it.
Yes.
I think it's even more crucial in such a creative field as well. Like if you have a diverse group throughout the company, then you're going to get more, you're just by definition going to get more diverse ideas of a creative direction to go in.
Yeah, 100%.
And as we wrap up this episode, just very quickly, guys, what brands are you excited to see from this year? Like, which are the brands that are at the forefront of your mind going into 2021?
I need to think on that.
I think it, for me, more so than what brands I'm excited to see what they're going to do, I'm excited to discover and see new brands and see which ones come out of the pandemic. I know that a lot of creatives and designers have been working during this time and just like, you know, getting their collections together. So I'm excited to see who's going to emerge and what new brands we're going to have to look to.
Yeah, I would echo that. I'm most excited to see the people who I don't even know kind of exist yet. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they're going to really take the lessons of 2020 into 2021 and really build something from the ground up in such a volatile kind of market, and create something that's really exciting and different that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah. And I think that I think it's most exciting because knowing that a brand that comes out now cannot come out in the same way that brands have in the past. They have to do something different. They're coming out to a completely different industry. So I think it's going to be exciting because these are going to be really innovative, creative people that are going to be putting out these new collections, these new brands.
Yeah, they're going to be bold to have the guts to do it. In a climate like this, you've got to be bold. So yeah, I'm going to respect them and kind of sit in awe of them.
Agreed.
I mean, if history's taught us anything, after any sort of event like this, all industries get shaken up because they've got to adapt or die, essentially. So 2021 should be an exciting one for the up and comers within fashion. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. If you haven't subscribe to us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Make sure you check out our other episodes as well. We've done a couple now, a few interviews with some interesting people. Go back and listen to them whenever you can, and we'll speak to you next time.